The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember that voice? That's Wrong Way Deontay Johnson getting ready for his triumphant return to Pittsburgh. We have him responding to Mike Tomlin later in the show. I am still hung up on something about this game from yesterday. I'm not going to lie. I was still thinking about it last night when I was trying to go to bed. When my daughter was taking the remote for the TV and repeatedly hitting me in the head with it this morning and saying, ow.
I like that move for her.
I was thinking about it then. And because we left, I think, meat on the bone here. I am just, and Donnie was not part of this conversation because he was on his way to talk to Landon Roberts. And by all accounts, it was great.
Excellent
Landon Roberts
show, yeah.
Show last night.
Heard a lot of plaudits.
I am still hung up on the city limits take that Steelers fans respect the Ravens and how this is not apparently this bloodthirsty rivalry where it's one of these rivals where if they were on fire, you wouldn't want to pee on them
to put them out,
put the fire out. Mm-hmm. This almost reverence for the Ravens that I was hearing a little bit from you yesterday and from some of our callers.
I don't like the word reverence
who chimed
right off
in.
The bat. Respect. Respect and reverence are two very different things.
Reverence is a more dignified version of respect. And you might not like that word for yourself, but that's what I was hearing from some of our callers yesterday. You respect the team that has Deontay Johnson coming in here. You respect the team that has Lamar Jackson at quarterback. You respect the team that's coached by John Harbaugh, one of the most smug, arrogant personalities in all of professional football. I'm not saying respect for a team that came in here and lost an AFC championship game 15 years ago or 16 years ago. I'm talking about as things currently stand right now. When Steelers fans think of the Ravens, they think of friggin' Aretha Franklin and her song. I mean,
get
come
out of
on
my
now.
Head. When you said this, when you set that up before you said Aretha Franklin, I started in my head going, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Why
yeah.
Why did you say that?
Because
I swear to God, get out of my head.
Because I think of the big lady too, when the respect word gets thrown
If you had called
around.
Her that when she was alive, she would have verbally eviscerated you.
Absolutely. But she's no longer here, so she can't stand up for herself anymore, unfortunately.
I think there would be plenty of people willing to stand up for her on her behalf to you for calling her the big lady and not one
Donnie,
of the greatest
singers
ever.
Donnie, do you think, when you think of the Ravens, more respect than hate for them?
I see where he's coming from. Yeah, I do. Because I feel like as a kid growing up in the when that rivalry was at its best, like the 2000s into the 2010s, you weren't getting any better in the NFL than Ravens Steelers. I think there was like an underlying respect between the two because the two teams were pretty similar. It's like they're going to absolutely knock you out. They're going to hit you in the mouth, and they're probably going to meet each other in a big game by January. They're going to get to play three times per year. Every single game is going to be an absolute slugfest. I think it was Bill Hillgrove who once said Steelers-Ravens should not be played on a sunny Sunday in a stadium. It should be played at midnight in a back alley. Like, that is how it felt with some of those guys. There were some nasty-ass
dudes. You're using past tense on me, though. You're using back in the day, and that's fine.
NFL
back,
neutered some of the back, things that people back in like the most.
Back in the day,
absolutely.
Back in the day, Steelers-Raiders was the thing when your old man was in middle school, okay? Like, times change. We were inundated with callers near the end of the show that were actually saying nice things about the Ravens, and it made me a little bit sick to my stomach.
I don't have as much of that feeling now as I did when I was a kid. Like, it certainly lost a little bit of its luster. I think another thing too, and I know it should be easier. It's easier said than done to kind of separate the team from the fan base. I think that's actually part of the thing that weighs into this too, that we find so much more annoyance with people that follow the other two teams in the AFC North, especially the one in Cleveland, when, okay, the Ravens have actually backed up any sort of talk they have. Like,
oh, so your complaint about the Browns fans is that they get too big for their britches.
Yeah, I mean,
thing.
We go into every single offseason, okay. It's the same thing. Oh, we're going to win 10 games and win the AFC North. Steelers will be lucky to win 7 games. The same thing was happening this offseason, and their freaking team is 2-8.
I've been to Steelers-Ravens games in Pittsburgh, played at night. I've been to Steelers-Ravens games in Baltimore. I got to be honest with you, just anecdotally, when I see the two fan bases interact with each other, it doesn't ooze respect. Respect is not the first word that pops into
my
head.
How many rivalries, though, in the NFL, when the actual fans are together on game day, are you like, yes, this is a hearty handshake game? None.
Well, I'm sure you go to some of these Midwest towns, and they treat you like gold, and they say, thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah,
we
Chiefs
love you here.
Fans. I'm sure they're just wonderful.
I've been, Steelers and Chiefs, not really a rivalry.
That's the point. That's kind of the point.
But I've been to a playoff game there, and I would not the fans are loud, but I wouldn't say they're hostile towards Steelers fans. Ravens fans are hostile towards us. Absolutely, in Baltimore.
Because it's a rivalry, Pony. That's
yes,
the point.
Yeah.
Chiefs probably look at the Steelers as, look at that cute little team here thinking they're going to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Not one steeped in respect, steeped in hatred. Steeped in, I want this team that the Steelers are playing on Sunday to lose every game they play by 50 points.
I mean, that would be helpful because I would like them eliminated from playoff contention, but I view the Browns similarly to the way Donnie does. I've started to just laugh at them. Off-season champs every year. The Bengals, I have some respect and a healthy...
I got more respect for them.
I have a healthy fear of them because I've seen Burrow torch the Steelers, but the Ravens, it's more just overall body of work, man. I've seen them beat the Steelers. I've seen Lamar, yes, not play very good games. In fact, bad games against the Steelers. I kind of respect that they're the Steelers' mirror image.
I don't remember people, now maybe near the end they did, but haven't lived through it. I don't remember people saying, man, I respect those Patriots. Man, I respect Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Patriots normally
beat our ass.
I was just going to say, that was the most
Steelers
one-sided
Ravens
rivalry
is very
ever.
Down the middle.
Yeah, this is an actual rivalry. Both sides get their digs in here, man. I think that's why the dynamic is what it is.
So when it's more 50-50, you respect the opponent more than hate them less, is what you guys are telling me?
I've respected that. I mean, the bottom line is I've respected them going back to pretty much Cowher's time, Tomlin's first couple of years, all the way through. Harbaugh annoys me. It annoys me when they win because I prefer to see them lose. But that nothing about them feels cheap, is I guess what I would say. I think the Bengals in the past have been cheap. The Browns are obviously just a joke. The Patriots, it wasn't the same because it was just always hammer, meat, nail. It's easier, I think, for me, at least, as a fan, to respect a team when there's give and take in the rivalry.
I feel like Steelers fans absolutely hated the Patriots, like with every fiber of their being.
Well, there was also proof and belief that they potentially cheated the Steelers out of the highest honor in the league.
The Walter Payton Man of the Year Award?
Yes, of course.
It is. That's what it is. The Walter Payton Man of the Year.
It just did not seem right. I almost feel embarrassed for the last hour of the show where we're trying to get people hyped up for this game and our listeners are lining up around the corner, around the block to say, I actually respect and I almost heard like when we're not playing them, there's part of me that roots for them because they're just like us.
No, I don't root for them. Oh. I don't have that West. The only time I've ever rooted for the Ravens is when they would play New England in the playoffs. I would root for them then. Lesser of two evils.
I'll just make another analogy to a team we're supposed to hate here. I never recall working at this station in 15 years having people say, you know what? I respect the Philadelphia Flyers. I got respect for that team. They play hard. Cheap. They put you on your ass.
Cheap.
So somebody blindside hits you, knocks you in the head, and concusses you. That ain't cheap. I mean, that was part of those AFC matchups that Donnie's now putting on.
See, I think the Steelers would give it right back.
If anything, the Steelers were the
cheap
cheaper team.
I'll cheap you right.
Who's the biggest cheap shot artist that has played in that game in the Steelers Ravens? And I think the guy is one of the great players I've ever seen, and I loved watching him. Hines Ward went headhunting for people.
Well, then hold on a second here. Then we're hypocrites here, because if Steelers fans are going to admire Hines Ward for that, then why don't they say the same thing about Burfict?
Is this your first time being a sports fan? Of course you take your own and say, he's our guy, so it's okay. It's their guy. It sucks.
Okay,
I feel the same way about Rodney Harrison.
Okay, but you guys just said that, all right, they want to concuss our guy. We'll concuss their guy, and that's what made Steelers-Ravens great. And then when Burfict started going on that spree, it turned the Bengals into public enemy number one. And no one had
this
respect for them.
This all stemmed from the Flyers thing, where the Flyers made it a notorious thing that's what their brand was. We're going to cheap shot you. And I said, if we're playing the cheap shot game here, Hines Ward was the cheapest player to play.
The one-on-one battles between Ward and Ed Reed were something.
Again, that
you know
was more
loved those big Dan Dierdorf.
That
loved
was
those.
That was more Hammer seeking out Nail and Nail trying to avoid Hammer at all costs.
You guys are practically gushing about these Steelers.
I love Steelers Ravens,
and I respect them so much. Oh, the respect.
You want some catnip here that's going to make you feel better from your good buddy Fake John and Robinson? He blames Tomlin's fumbling of the bag with the Steelers. His teams have been irrelevant for a decade, and the rivalry cooled and respect developed. I guess like magma exploding into the ocean and then forming an island. So that's your Fake John and Robinson take.
By the end of the week, Fake John's going to blame Tomlin for Bidenomics and the fact that our grocery prices are as high as they are. He blames him for everything. Global warming.
I do think for a long time that was your link together, the two of you.
I think Pony would have been upset by what I told you in the back, Chris. Remember the random Raven I said I really liked?
Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, he loves Haloti Ngata, who punched Ben in the face through his face mask and broke his nose. Oh, he's a big Haloti Ngata guy.
The internal battles there, Ngata and Pouncey and DeCastro.
Man.
Ate him up.
Pony would Ngata have to say what? Haloti Ngata, not a fan of that
guy.
He
was a bad MF-er.
He was a bad dude. He was a bad dude.
That's like somebody in Western Europe saying, you know, I was a big fan of Napoleon.
Yeah, when
when he came in and conquered our ass, pretty good guy.
Handed his jacket the whole time, great balance, low center of gravity.
Loved the hat.
Hated that he got exiled.
No one else could have pulled that hat off but him.
I'll tell you what, though, Waterloo, no one saw that coming.
Haloti Ngata.
So Haloti Ngata is Napoleon. Okay, well, yeah, who else we got?
By the end of the show, Donnie's going to be...
Bart Scott is Attila the Hun.
Yeah, singing the praises of Terrell Suggs. You know, when he said he owned Ben Soul in his ass, I was arousing hearing him say that. So, yesterday we just...
You're struggling with this, man. Well, City Limits has put you in a blender with a take. I've never seen a take throw you this badly.
I'm just shocked. And it's purely anecdotal right now that so many of our interactions from yesterday, and it's carried over in today, are from Steelers fans telling us, no, 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 we don't hate the Ravens. We actually respect them. And it has blown my mind. You'd think on the precipice of this game, it would intensify the dislike for them.
I do dislike them, but like I love this game, and part of it is because I don't hate the opponent quite the same way I hated the Patriots.
412-928-9370. Do you hate the Ravens more than you respect them? Are you actually one of these guys that respects the Raven?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's really cool to be in these games, not because it's them, but because they're a good team. This time of year, you want to be leaning in on five-star matchups and being a component of it. You're in five-star matchups not only because of the quality of people that you're playing, but also what you've done. We respect that component of it, and we're excited about that component of it, and we just want to continue to sharpen our sword for these battles.
Mike Tomlin on Steelers-Ravens fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. In 15 minutes, we'll talk to Tyler Kennedy. Here is Andros on the fan. Hello, Andros.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
How you guys doing?
We're
I'm a longtime listener. But my answer to the question is, man, I can't stand the Browns. I hate them. I mean, I can't stand the Ravens.
They're Maybe like, that's a Freudian slip, Andros. They're the real Browns.
Yeah, it's an Art Modell form franchise.
Yep.
I can't stand the Cleveland East. And real quick for that Deontay Johnson, I like to call him Deontay Wimbledon Johnson because all he could do is catch tennis balls.
That was part of his routine. Yeah, breakfast at Wimbledon with Deontay. Strawberries and cream and running backwards after making a catch.
Would you want to go to Wimbledon?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I'd thrive there.
Why?
Because I love big-time tennis. And
you do love big-time tennis, but you think you'd thrive there with all the manners and stuff?
I think I'd fake an English accent.
Give me just a quick one here. You're meeting, you know, they love royalty over there. You're meeting.
Yeah, give me a Pimm's Cup, bloke.
Give me a
stuff like that. Hey, wanker, pass me a Pimm's Cup.
Bunch of words here can't say here that are very common slang terms there, Donnie. Can't say a bunch of different words that are not good to be saying here. But
Chris,
you can't say bloody over there because people will practically
throw
Andrew's you out.
So Andrew's not throwing the respect word around with the Ravens. Here is Chris and Sarver. Hello, Chris.
Hello. I hate all teams in our division. I still hate the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans or Oilers or whatever you want to call them. I just hate them all. If you like them, then you're not a true Steeler fan.
Wow. There you have it.
So I'm not a true Steeler fan. Neither is Donnie.
Take that fan card and
shove it.
Flush it right down the toilet.
Donnie, I guess it's tough. We have to find a new team. We've been excommunicated.
No, you can continue to root for him, but you're not
a
true
real
fan.
Well, no. What's the point of rooting for him if I'm not a true fan?
You're
I've been excommunicated
phony ass,
from the church.
You're a fake-ass fan. You're a Fugazi Fakakta fan.
Mm. Pony, would you say, just by way of just breaking up before we go to the next call, would you say all games on the NFL on the Steelers schedule specifically, you kind of view equally?
No.
The excitement you get about a particular game, are they all equal?
No.
Okay. Would you say that the games against the teams that are better or that you're more familiar with are more kind of get your dander up?
Yes.
More?
What are you getting at here?
Okay. The Ravens are the A1 opportunity, the A1 example of that. And for me, it's at least partly based on the fact you see them a lot. The results
Frig does that have to do with
respect,
though?
The results are often very close to split. The games are almost always close.
So, okay.
And they play they for a long time have played a style of football, I think, that everyone here identifies with. So that's why I respect them.
So they're just trying to be you. If somebody was trying to emulate me and be a, you know, a fake Filippone and try to say the things that I did and act the way that I did and was trying to, you know, achieve success in the radio business, and if we were competing for the same thing, you know, if somebody was doing that in another city, God bless you. But the Steelers and Ravens want the same thing. They want to be AFC North champions. They want to be Super Bowl champions.
I don't know. They're being good every year, or usually the team standing in the Steelers' way when the Steelers are good. I don't know. That familiarity, I respect it because I enjoy it.
It's supposed to breed contempt. Apparently with you, it's breeding loving relationships.
It's contempt. I'll be pissed off if the Steelers lose the game.
But at the end of the day, you'll say something like, if I were going to lose to a team, I'm happy that it was to a team like the Ravens because they play hard and they play gutty football and they bring their lunch pail.
No, if I had to pick one team to end the Steelers season, like in the playoffs, I think right now it would be the Chargers. Just be like that weirdo Jim Harbaugh. Like, Potash would be happy at least, and I like Dan.
Mac is next. Hello, Mac.
Yo, what's up? What's up, fellas?
Hey, Mac.
Hey, Phony, man. Here you go back again with the worst takes ever on radio, man. Yesterday, it was Lamar Jackson was overrated.
Today,
Baltimore isn't supposed to be respected. This team, 19,
I didn't say
no, that's me. Hey, hold on.
Mac, I didn't say
Mac,
they need to be respected.
Mac, hold on. I'm the one, Chris, the other guy, not Pony, who said, I respect Baltimore.
I think it's BS that people are saying that.
I said, yeah, I agree with Chris. They are to be respected.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Oh, my God. We couldn't hear you,
Mac,
for a second.
I'm a, I can't stand the Baltimore Ravens.
Doesn't
I can't
sound like
stand
it.
Them.
Sounds like you want to eat crab cakes with their fans.
Because they are to be respected, man. 1996. How you can you not respect Ray Lewis? How can you not respect
There's a lot of ways
Deion
I cannot
Sanders?
Respect Ray Lewis.
How can you not respect Bart Scott?
Oh, my God. Deion Sanders was there
Jamal
for five.
Lewis.
Deion Sanders was there for 5 minutes.
How can you not respect legendary Commanders D lineman Bruce Smith?
Get the hell
how
out of
here.
How
can you not respect the Ravens whenever they came in the league 1996? They took the rivalry off of Cleveland Browns. They earned that title to be our rival.
Well, they kind of are the real Cleveland Browns, to be fair, Mac.
Oh my God,
but Cleveland Browns aren't our true rivals now.
Well, yeah, because they
Ravens
suck
are.
Ass. You're making this sound like it's friggin' Army Navy, and they should all hold hands and sing the national anthem after the game. Good Lord.
Do they do that with Air Force in that rivalry?
No, they're kind of like the redheaded
like
step.
Yeah, they're like the Fredo of the three service branches. If you're an Air Force graduate out there, I don't mean that personally. Just in football
terms.
And why
didn't the Marines ever get a football team?
Who was that Air Force coach? Fisher DeBerry?
Yep, he was there forever.
Wait, the Citadel, you mean?
Is the Citadel just Marines?
I think that's kind of like the closest thing to the Marines football team. Isn't that down there where they, isn't that based in South Carolina?
Malzy, this is not my area of expertise.
Didn't Tomlin coach at VMI?
Yes, he said that he coached there with Dan Quinn.
Pony, Mac had the greatest start to a call, I think, the funniest start ever, and then it just lost momentum. Here you go, Pony, back again, giving the worst takes on radio.
Yep.
I wish the rest of the call had gone better for him. It was an incredible start.
And then he embarrassed himself with a horrible take. Takes one to no one, I guess, Mac. Here's Nick next. Hello, Nick.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
We're good.
I just had to chime in because there's the only word I use to describe the rivalry between the Steelers and the Ravens is hatred. Hate the Ravens. I hate everything I hate every piece of that organization to the point where they're playing the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I would have rather seen the 49ers tie the 6 Lombardi trophies than ever root for the Ravens to win anything in my life.
Same exact way as you.
I hate that team. I hate that organization. 35-31. We're going to go out there. We're going to handle business, and we're taking the dub.
Wow, he's got a shootout there. 35-31.
That's what Jason LaConfora said is the only way to beat Baltimore.
Oh, Jason LaConfora stopped tweeting about Trump and the United States soccer team and his disdain for the Baltimore Orioles front office to rattle off that take today? Interesting.
I don't think we'll be having Jason on again for a while.
Well, we're on in the same time slot, so I don't think we have to worry about that, Malzy.
Man, I guess it has been a while since he came on.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. We can take more of your calls on this. Guy just said I had the worst take in the world for hating the Ravens in Pittsburgh. Man, why don't you just hang me in effigy, tar and feather me for saying I hate the team that tries to prevent the Steelers from winning the AFC North every year with a smug-ass coach in Diontae Johnson on the roster. Geez, shame on me. I should hand in my letter of resignation after the show is over. Actually, why even wait? I'll just go do it during this break.
Kennedy!
No place to go but up for the Penguins after you give up 6 goals in the first period Monday night against Dallas. But maybe a sign of things to come. Lars Eller. Not only did you trade Lars Eller, you traded Lars Eller to one of your rivals for mid and late round picks years down the road. Tyler Kennedy joins us right now, Penguins Stanley Cup champ. A man that made a $1,000 bet with me that the Penguins would make the playoffs, but we won't harp on that this entire interview. TK, I like to ask you questions like this because you know Sidney Crosby having sat next to him in the dressing room. What do you think is going through his head right now, knowing that the team just traded a useful player, a good player, and got future late-round picks back?
Well, I think obviously he's probably pretty frustrated with how the year has started off. And, you know, Sid knows where he's at. He knows where the team's at. Like, he probably understands the situation. Like, something needed to be done. Like, it wasn't like, hey, let's just trade him to trade him. Like, they need to do something to shake the lineup, shake up the whole team, because their performance against Dallas was, like, very staggering, surprising in that first period. Like, I was like, wow, like, something needs to happen, like, tomorrow. And it did. And, you know, that sends a message to the team, like, hey, everyone's on the hot seat, and I'll trade anyone. except Sid probably. But, you know, he's the GM is sending a message to the team like, hey, we better pick our boots up or this is going to keep happening.
TK, how much further into a season can you go, though, as a team overall? Like, not just Crosby looking at it, but all these guys, you know, losing more than you're winning and still think it's about salvaging this year. Like, I get that pro athletes are the last people to stop believing maybe, but it's getting late early out there for this team, the way they've started the season.
Yeah, like, I would think after Thanksgiving, you start really looking at your team, where you're at, you know, what games you have coming up. But I would think Thanksgiving would be a real, like, sit-down chat with your, you know, your staff, your other, you know, your scouts, and really assess your team and be like, hey, guys, are we going to break this down even farther? And do we need to sell off a lot of assets before the trade deadline and start rebuilding right
now? How would you answer that question if Thanksgiving was tomorrow?
That's a little – I still think it's a little early. Like,
really?
You know, obviously they didn't have a – well, like, I still don't think they've had a great start. I think things have, like, just snowballed in the wrong way. I think certain players haven't played great at all, and I'm not sure if they're going to turn it around. But, again, I'm still willing to give guys till Thanksgiving to see what they got. Then after that, then it's a little bit a different story. But it seems like Kyle Dubas, with making that trade, it seems like he's going to start making moves here because, you know, there's obviously rumors on Instagram and Twitter, like, hey, everyone's for sale. Like, all the Penguin players, they all have Instagram. They, you know, even if they don't have their name attached to it or Twitter attached to it,
yep.
These guys know what's going on. They know what the GM's saying. They know what the coach is saying in their meetings. You know, I remember, you know, I would know what the coach was saying about me by either reading it.
Uh-oh. That was just getting juicy there.
Or people, yeah, either good or bad. But, no, this could turn ugly, but I still think you got to give them a little bit more time. You still got to get Jari in there and see if he can find this game.
Well, that's just, you just hit on something else there, how you handle the goaltending. You want Jari in, huh? You want to see Jari.
You throw him in there and you don't take him out until you either put him on waivers or you trade him. I say you ride him all the way. You win or lose, you're putting him back in there. He's making $6 million a year. He's your number one goalie. Let him figure it out. Don't go back and forth. Let him figure it out. And sometimes that's the best way, is when you're under the gun and you need to perform, even when you had a bad game, get right back in there and figure it out. I feel like when you sit out that extra game, or, you know, you sit out a couple games, like, that's how you get in your head even more. So I think you throw him in there and you make him figure it out. You don't give him an option.
If you were Kyle Dubas and a team came to you and said about either Malkin or Letang, hey, we really want this guy and we are prepared to make you a very competitive offer, you know, early round picks, whatever it might be, just an objectively good offer, what are you saying to them if that happens today, November 13th?
Like, obviously, I feel like I've always been close with those guys. I got a soft heart for those guys because I won a championship with those guys. I know how much they mean to the city, to the team, how special of a player. But on the outside, on the business standpoint, you got to make that move.
One of those guys, like, says, by the way, just to build on that, Tyler, if one of those guys says, or both of them in that hypothetical would say, hey, I'm willing to, like, at least explore this. Like, it's got to be the right team. But
it sounds like Yoey thinks Letang might prefer that, Tyler. Like, they could actually go to him about the no movement clause, and he might say, okay, I'm down.
I'd almost think, like, they would want to do those guys a favor if they got a sense that they wanted to be moved, if Letang wanted to be moved.
So there's, like, two things how I think of it. Like, when you think of, say, Chris Letang, you know, I think the hardest thing for a player of any sport is when they pick someone up to take your spot or to, you know, to eat up your minutes. I think as much as Tanger's really, like, been professional about it, that's got to hurt him a little bit inside. That's got to affect him a little bit, you know. And when they were playing the Islanders and I saw Carlson on the power play in overtime for the full 2 minutes and Chris Letang was sitting on the bench. And I know how Tanger is. That's going to drive him nuts. Mm-hmm. You know, that's no matter who you are, like, guys, I just won three cups, and this guy who hasn't won anything is taking my job. You tell me if that's right. But
and also, I was going to say, how about the way Carlson's talking about himself? I'm playing great. What are we doing here, Tyler? What's that all about? Patting himself on the ass.
Like,
that would drive me crazy. See, you want to talk about drive me nuts? How about that?
Well, like, you know, especially like, guys, I feel like I've been here a long time in Pittsburgh, you know, and I feel like the people of Pittsburgh appreciate guys that work hard and hold themselves accountable. And when he says that, you want to turn people against you, say what you just said. Like, he should have just said, no, I got to be better. I got to work through it. It just seemed like, I played okay. And it's like, dude.
First of all, you're not.
You're not. You're not, and you're getting paid the most on the team. Like, you can't be average. That's why guys with big paychecks get big paychecks, because when the pressure's on to perform over periods of time, they do. And, you know, again, look at, as much as Chris Letang's been up and down, like, he's put on so many great stretches of years where he's been unbelievable and be the rock back there. And and for them to be like, you know, is it okay to get moved? Like, if a GM came to me and I was Chris Letang or Malkin, and they're like, hey, would you waive it? Right off the bat, I'd be like, yeah, waive it. You don't want me here? I'm out of here. Just, you know, I would be like, just send me somewhere with a palm tree and I'm good, boys. But, you know, that's how I think. And those guys are obviously different. But when a GM approaches you about talking about your contract and your no waive, right away, you've lost a player because you know they're trying to trade you.
Great point.
And you know, like, that right away, you know. So you got to really, like,
that's a delicate
situation. If you're
situation,
the GM, if you're the GM, you've got to make up Tyler. Your mind, right, Tyler? Before you even go to the player, you've got to make up your mind and know that that's what's going
to
happen.
You almost have to have someone lined up.
You almost have to have a trade done. Pretty much. I agree with that.
Especially with those two guys. Like, just think if they went and did that to Malkin. If you think he's turning pucks over right now, he would be a beauty out there. But that's like the game, you know. That's the business. That's the hard part of the business. It's like, what have you done for me lately, you know? And like, I played here for 6 years. I won a cup. And when Ray Shero said we're trading you, like, I was like, it hurts your heart, you know, because you bleed for the team. And like, I can just imagine those two guys with what they've done. You know, Gino's got like a pretty much a fake knee on him, you know, but like, you know, they've did everything and they've won. And like, but that's part of the game. Like, you can't just hang on to the guys when you're losing how you are. And that's business. You know, at the end of the day, an NHL, an NFL team, that's a business. They're running a business to win. They're not running to make friends or to keep people happy. They're there to win hockey games and fill the seats and grow the game.
Penguins and Red Wings tonight, 7:30. TNT is the game, so we'll get Biz and Gretzky and those guys' take on what's going on with the Penguins. Hey, Tyler, thanks. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.